ओम शांति। गुड इवनिंग। अकॉर्डिंग टू ड्रामा प्लान बाबाज बिलवर चिल्ड्रन हैव असेंबल्ड इन ज्ञान सरोवर टू रिज्यूवनेट वन सेल्फ apart from having meeting with Bab Dada, you have the fortune to listen to the senior brothers and sisters on different topics. I am a psychiatrist by profession in this birth. I am in the global hospital for almost 19 years since the beginning. And I'm going to talk to you regarding holistic health for Brahmins. I'll talk to you, say, until 7 o'clock, and then we can have some questions and answers for about 15 minutes. And then we'll have meditation at the end for about 15 minutes. So if you have any queries or comments, please let me know. How many of you have come for the first time? Can you please raise your hands? In this Kalpa, of course. How many of you are in Gyan for more than 10 years? Good. So you have Baba senior and junior children, right? The babies and the big ones. So it's a very good gathering. So I would be happy to address to you regarding health. The song which you just listened to was saying, open my heart. I am a psychiatrist, I can open the mind, not the heart. Of course, it's only Baba who opens the heart, right? I need not make you aware of the fact. Is the translation okay? Yeah? This particular age in which we are living is described with different terminology. As Baba says, it's an iron age. It's a land of sorrow. The psychiatrist describes this age as age of anxiety, age of depression, and so on and so forth. Different terminology. But the fact remains that we all, human souls, are completely unhealthy in all respects, in all aspects, whether it's physical health, mental health, social health, or spiritual health, those who are not the Brahmins, of course. We all are spiritually healthy, aren't we? We all are spiritually healthy. You know, it was very surprising to note that the highest body of policy making, the World Health Organization, the sister concern of United Nations, has revised and re-revised the definition of health over the decades. In 40s, 50s, the definition of health was restricted to just physical health. Subsequently, it was noted by the doctors that many of the physical illnesses are caused by stress, and that's why they included the mental health as part and parcel of complete health. But then they realized that the physical and mental health are governed by or modified by some social factors, and they define social health. So the complete health included not only physical health, but it also included mental health, social health, until the early 90s. There's a lot of deliberations and debate on the aspect of spiritual health, whether it should be included or not included in the definition of health, holistic health or complete health. Way back in 98, after a lot of deliberations and very strong debates, they included spiritual health as part of complete health. So as of now, the definition of health, if you want to label somebody being completely healthy, one has to be not only physically healthy, but has to be mentally healthy, socially healthy, and spiritually healthy as well. If you ask a question to yourself right now, are you completely healthy? Are you completely spiritually healthy? Are you completely socially healthy? There are different parameters of social health. They say if you keep good relations with all, if you make an earning for your livelihood, enough earning for your livelihood, keep good relations with all in the society, you are socially healthy. Ask yourself, are you socially healthy? Are you completely mentally healthy? Needless to ask a question, are you completely physically healthy? Nobody in this world is completely physically healthy. So is the truth that nobody in this world is completely mentally healthy, including Brahmins. We are, of course, spiritually healthy. We know each and every aspect of complete spiritual knowledge. We know the three dimensions of time. We know the three homes. We know the self, Baba, and of course the drama. But at the same time, if we ask the question to ourselves, are we completely socially healthy? I'm just posing some questions, throwing some questions to, you know, ask yourself. I'm not giving you a very hardcore lecture today. We'll have some interaction also. I would also give you some tips how to keep oneself mentally healthy and how to avoid consulting a psychiatrist. Because psychiatrists and most of the doctors, including physicians of this world, are very, very busy. And to find an appointment with a psychiatrist is not that easy. I know, I'm aware of it, because I get the patients from almost all the corners of the world. And we also want to avoid having a large number of patients. We also find some yuktis how to make people stress-free so as to reduce the load of patients in our hospitals. So I'll give you some tips how to get rid of stress and how to avoid consulting a psychiatrist. Listen to me very carefully, and if you have any questions or comments, we'll discuss it out at the end. Physical health, most of the Brahmins are aware of different aspects of good physical health. You have your own family physicians, you have your physicians in your local town or country, and you have regular checkups regarding your physical health. The main foundations of physical health, good physical health, are good balance vegetarian diet. When I say vegetarian diet, there would be few questions within the newcomers, the new students. There's a lot of debate on whether the veg diet is better than the non-veg or the non-veg diet is better than the veg. As a psychiatrist, let me inform you about some researches which have taken place across the globe, across the world. Non-veg diet, apart from causing so many physical illnesses like acidity and peptic ulcer and ulcerative colitis and cancer of the colon, of the intestine, etc., etc., non-veg diet has been proven to increase aggressive, criminal, antisocial impulses. Bawa has already taught us true aspects of health, absolute truth. Bawa has already taught the children you should avoid non-veg food. It is very unfortunate that many of the doctors of this world are still not up to date, aren't abreast with the recent researches which have taken place in the field of neurology and neuropsychiatry and psychology. It has been proven beyond fact that the non-veg diet is definitely not good for health, not just for physical health, but also for mental health. And that's why we are fortunate we are no more non-vegetarians. Are we? Especially the double foreigners I'm talking to. Because in the West, I had some opportunities to be in the West, like United States and UK. And I, you know, while moving around in your cities, different cities, just wanted to locate a restaurant, vegetarian restaurant, purely vegetarian restaurant, and that was not available at all. And it's other way around in India, you know. It's difficult to find a non-veg restaurant. I mean, just see the contrast, you know. In other words, in short, we are fortunate to be vegetarian, to be on the healthy side. Good, balanced vegetarian diet, small, frequent meals with lots of vegetables and fruits, frequent water intake, approximately a glass of water every hour, a big glass in summer, a small glass in winter. This is one foundation of good physical health. It has also effect on mental health, mind well. If you have small frequent meals with frequent intake of water, it keeps your blood sugar, it keeps your blood pressure within normal limits, it keeps your electrolytes level within the normal limits, and it keeps you away from stress. One of the common causes of anxiety, stress, is hypoglycemia, low sugar. If you have low sugar, or if you have lower margin of the normal range, your sugar is at the level of lower side of the normal range, then also you can experience anxiety. I'm happy to see few double foreigners having some sips of water right now. That's a good habit. It's a good habit for you to carry water bottles with you, and double foreigners have that habit, isn't it? The Indian brothers and sisters don't have that habit, but the double foreigners usually carry a water bottle with them. It's a good habit. The second foundation of good physical health is moderate aerobic exercise, which includes stretching. What I'm saying is all scientific. Moderate aerobic exercise, which includes stretching of major joints like neck, back, shoulder, hip joint, knee joint. No matter different studies, research studies carried out in different parts of the world regarding one kind of exercise better than the other one, the other one is better than the third one, something like that. The essence of all these researches is moderate aerobic exercise, which includes stretching of major joints. Mind well, moderate exercise is also naturally antidepressant. If you want to get rid of depression, have a habit of having moderate exercise. Number three, for good physical health, excuse me, there's a phone call. The doctors have this inevitable, gadget. The other foundation of good physical health is regular physical checkup. Regular physical checkup. Once or twice in a year, or once in 2 years for youngsters. The basic health checkup. If you undergo basic health checkup regularly, then you can prevent or diagnose some illnesses in advance and prevent some complications of those illnesses, which most of you have been doing, I guess, in your countries, right? The fourth aspect of good physical health is, of course, cleanliness and hygiene, good hygiene. Baba sometimes says in the Murli, the children, forget everything that you see through these eyes, right? Sometimes the doctors joke, keep everything that you see through these eyes neat and clean. There's a reason behind it. If you want to prevent many of the physical illnesses, cleanliness, as has been said, is next to godliness, and it prevents so many physical and medical illnesses. So these are the four basic foundations of good physical health. Now, what are the foundations of good mental health? If you want to avoid consulting a psychiatrist, if you want to get rid of stress and strain, if you want to get rid of depression, how would you do that? It's not a one-day job. It's an art that one has to learn. Everyone has to learn that art, how to get rid of stress and strain, and how to prevent depression. Are there any doctors sitting here, or psychologists, psychiatrists in the hall? Yes, one, two. Right. So, apart from having different physical illnesses that cause depression, say for example hypothyroidism, there's a gland over here in the neck which is known as thyroid gland, and the secretion of thyroid gland reduces beyond the normal limits, it causes hypothyroidism, it can cause depression. The over secretion of thyroid can cause hyperthyroidism. There are so many physical illnesses which can cause depression and anxiety, and it's the duty of the physician, family physician, to diagnose any underlying medical or physical illness that can cause depression or anxiety, provided if you visit your doctor regularly, visit your family physician regularly. Apart from major medical or physical illnesses that can cause anxiety or depression, the illness of anxiety, depression, phobias, insomnias, there's a big list of psychiatric, neuropsychiatric illnesses. There are so many neurological causes related to brain, related to injury to brain, that can cause depression or anxiety in later life. There are different kinds of epilepsies, major and minor epilepsies, that can cause different psychiatric illnesses. And if you are aware of basic aspects of this kind of illnesses, you can get rid of those illnesses in time and prevent the complications of untreated illnesses. But if you want to avoid consulting a psychiatrist, say for example, your family physician has told you that you need to consult a psychiatrist, you have anxiety, you have depression, you have burnout, you know, there are so many labels that the physicians, the doctors label these days. You have, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome, something like that. And then you are advised to consult a psychiatrist, but you are a bit, you know, bit guarded not to consult a psychiatrist, or a bit, you know, having hesitation to consult a psychiatrist. There are certain tips which I would like to give you, how to keep oneself mentally healthy most of the times and avoid consulting a psychiatrist. Since I'm going to talk to you about holistic health, and being a psychiatrist is my subject, to give you some tips to improve your mental health, I'm not going to give you very hardcore, you know, classes of Baba's knowledge regarding dharana and yoga and meditation and things like that. I'm here to talk to you regarding basic aspects of physical and mental health. It's altogether a different topic, right? It's a kind of a change for you. You have been listening to all different, very deep, intense classes. This is a bit different than the other classes. So, I'll give you about 15 to 20 tips, you know, how to keep oneself mentally healthy all the time. They are all scientific, mind well, and if you can remember them and can incorporate into your daily living, you can remain stress-free for most of the times. Number one, if you want to remain completely mentally healthy, number one tip, always perform your job or your service with utmost sincerity and honesty. Wherever there is even a trace of dishonesty, stress is likely to arise. So, perform all your duties, service, with utmost honesty and sincerity. Number two, if you want to be away from stress, try to keep good relations with almost everyone with whom you come in contact with. They can be your colleagues, they can be your family members, they can be your neighbors, they can be your friends, they can be your in-laws, they can be your higher authorities, bosses in your workplace, they can be your subordinates. Try to maintain good relation with each and everyone with whom you come in contact with. No matter the other person gives you sorrow, you try to give happiness. There are few psychotics and neurotics who invariably give sorrow to the other person. Leave those psychotics and neurotics for the psychiatrists to get treated. Number three, if you want to get rid of stress, maintain a balance. In your daily routine, maintain a balance between your rest, sleep, exercise and your diet. It's a kind of a triangle, a triad of three aspects. Neither too much of rest, nor too less rest. Neither too much of eating, nor fasting for a long time. Neither too much of exercising or overexertion, nor just complete sedentary life. if you can maintain a balance between all these three things within your daily routine, that will also keep you away from stress. There are different scientific medical reasons for it. Say for example, if you do over-exercise, over-exertion, if you do a lot of hard physical work, if you do, you know, very strenuous exercise, then what happens? In your blood, lactic acid gets accumulated. There are different toxins and free radicals that secrete in the blood that cause the feelings of depression, exhaustion, fatigue, etc., etc. I must tell you something regarding sleep. As a psychiatrist, there are certain myths related to sleep, especially in the Brahmin family. Sleep or rest is very important, not only for your physical health, but also for your mental health. The average requirement of sleep is 8 hours. Sometimes Baba also mentions about it. Barring the exception of children and old-aged people, senior citizens, the average requirement of sleep of an individual is 8 hours. Mind well. If you don't finish the quota, required quota of 8 hours in your bed, you will finish your quota by dozing off in the chair, in the sofa here, while listening to the Murali or while doing Amrit Vela Yoga. And you will finish your quota of 8 hours. So, very important, finish your required quota of sleep in bed and not in the sofa or chair here. The exception being the senior citizens who are beyond the age of 60, 65, who might require 6 hours of sleep and they would be fine, you know, they would be fresh and alert in the class. Or bearing children, child sitting here right in front, might require about 10 hours, 11 hours of sleep, and then only he will be comfortable, he will be alert, fresh, whole day. Bearing these two age groups, the average requirement of sleep is 8 hours. Mind well, here in Gyan Sarovar, in Baba's home, you are completely at rest. You don't have any job to do. You are not on the run, unlike in your country. In your country, in your city, you are always on the run. I have seen it. Right? You have to drive yourself so many miles or kilometers and reach to your job place, do a lot of hectic job, lockic job, come back, cook yourself, read the Murali, give the class. I mean, it's so hectic daily routine there. It's just altogether different from what you have there and what you have now in Gyan Sarovar. Hell of a difference. Mind well, when you are in your lockic place, your home, and busy with your job, 5 days a week is most of the people have in their job place, right? 5 days you have to work and 2 days off, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend. Mind well, if you are able to sleep less during your working days, try to compensate the deficit of your sleep by having extra sleep or extra rest during weekend. It has been shown by different researches, if you take rest, extra rest during weekend and finish the required quota of about 8 hours of sleep a day, average, you will get rid of depression and anxiety. You will get rid of fatigue, exhaustion, burnout, etc., etc. Mind well, insomnia is a universal problem. as Baba sometimes says, you know, in the path of bhakti, people say, God is omnipresent. In the path of psychiatry, we sometimes say, insomnia is omnipresent. It's a very common complaint even of the Brahmins, for the Brahmins. And I'll give you some tips how to have good sleep without sedatives and tranquilizers. Okay? How many of you are taking tea or coffee? Raise your hands, please. Including myself, I am also taking, okay? Although it's not going to be available in the golden age, we are fortunate to have it in the confluence age. But mind well. If you take tea or coffee or any caffeinated, aerated drink, beverage, you can afford to take either 3 cups of tea a day or 2 cups of strong coffee a day or about 500 to 750 ml of mild caffeinated beverage in a day. If you take beyond this limit, there can be caffeine intoxication, there can be caffeine overdose in your blood, which can keep you sleepless at night. Especially if you take tea or coffee after 5 p.m. in the evening, you are likely to have a sleepless night. Okay? So if you want to have good sound sleep every day, every night, try to cut down your amount of tea or coffee, as I said, and please don't take it after 5 p.m. Milk, buttermilk, yogurt have some natural substances which induce good sleep, good sound sleep. So if you take it at night, before going to bed, it can also cause good sound sleep. There are certain substances in milk like serotonin and tryptophan and things like that. They are essential amino acids and they cause good sleep. They induce good sleep. They calm the brain and make you sleepy naturally. It has been seen that if you want to have good sleep, do go for walking or jogging in the evening, especially before dinner. If you want to go for a walk after dinner, just have a stroll. Don't go for long walks. Otherwise, it can cause indigestion. If you have change in your bed, if you have change in your room, you don't have your pillow or blanket of your choice when you are in Gyan Sarovar, in Pandavan or Shantivan, you can have a sleepless night for a day or two. Right? When you come from your country, when you are in Baba's home, you don't have your blanket or pillow of your choice. You don't have your bed that you like. You are living with 2 or 3 brothers or sisters, you know. And then there can be some noise and some problems. This insomnia, this deliberate self-induced insomnia because of change in the place, is natural. It happens. For a day or two, it's okay. Then you get adjusted to it and then you should have good sleep. If you don't have good sleep in Gyan Sarovar for more than 5 days or 7 days, you cannot enjoy your stay, can you? Be honest. How many of you have sleepless nights, not so good sleep for 4 or 5 days, 1 week at a stretch? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. Many. So, that's why I'm giving you some tips how to have good sleep. Okay? So that you can avoid consulting a psychiatrist. These tips, if not practiced whilst you are in Gyan Sarovar or in Pandavan, please take note of these tips which I gave you and try to implement them so that you can enjoy good sleep. Sleep is required not only for yourself, your soul, it's also required for the body. The same chariot we have been using for doing service day in and day out, the same chariot we have been using to make intense efforts. And if you don't give proper enough rest to this chariot, then chariot screams, you know, in different ways. Body demands rest. And if you are unable to give enough rest to your chariot, and if you don't have sound good sleep, you cannot enjoy anything. So, even after trying all these tips, if you have insomnia, sleeplessness, then, of course, do some good quality yoga before you are going to bed. Okay? Despite having good quality yoga before going to bed, you are not able to sleep well. And if you remain sleepless, you have insomnia for 4-5 days, 1 week, then you must consult a local doctor in Gyan Sarovar. If he says that you should go and consult Dr. Nikhil Patel in Global Hospital, then you are welcome after taking a prior appointment. Well, I guess you need not come and see me. That's the reason I'm here to talk to you. But other tip, how to keep oneself mentally healthy, probably fourth or fifth. If you want to enjoy good life, good mental health, always try to keep a consciousness of your role. And try to adjust to different roles that you play on a given day. While you are at the center, you are a teacher. While you are going to your job place, driving your car, you are no more a teacher. You are a driver of a car. You have to drive the car properly. So you have to have quick adjustment, adaptation to from one role to the other one. When you are at the job place, you have a boss to whom you have to obey. The moment you don't obey him, there can be some problems. So, when you are in the family, say for example, in the Laukic family, you are a brother or you are a father of somebody or you are a mother of somebody. You have different roles on a given day and you should be able to adjust to each and every role very quickly. What we call quick role reversals. If you can adjust and adapt to yourself to different roles on a given time, within a given day, you can be stress-free. There are some people who are the bosses in the company, in the offices, and they try to do the same when they are at home. The same consciousness of boss is there at home, and you know what can happen. You are very well aware of it. So, quick role reversal and adjusting to different roles very quickly also makes you stress-free. Another tip, if you want to remain stress-free, always try to be positive. Always try to be positive. The translation is not there. Is it okay now? Yeah? Okay. Always try to be positive. Forget and forgive. Nobody in this world is completely perfect, whether they are the Laukic people or we are the Brahmins. Everybody has weakness. Everybody has lacune. Small or the big one. Try to see the specialities of others everywhere. Whether you are in the Brahmin family or whether you are at workplace. And try to forgive and forget. At times, you know, it's a nature. It's a kind of a personality that one has developed. At times it happens you forgive somebody's big mistake, but you don't pardon somebody's even a small mistake, you know. If you ask yourself, I have seen road rage quite badly, even in India and in the Western countries. Road rage, you know. Although you know that this is the speed limit at which you have to drive, but somebody tries to overtake you, you feel offended. And, you know, you are very well experienced of what I'm saying. So, always have that positive tendency towards each and everyone while doing any action, while performing any action. Forgive and forget. Always be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. We are living in the age of anxiety. We are living in the Iron Age. Be prepared for the worst. What is the worst? The soul can leave the body. But then, you are imperishable. The body can die, you cannot die. Have that consciousness within. Anything can happen at any time. Come on, this is the age of disasters, natural disasters or man-made disasters. So worst come worst, soul can leave the body. But hope for the best. We know the destiny of this world. We know golden age has to come, will arrive. The other day I was talking with one of the guests from America, you know. In America, the Supreme Court of America has ruled about 3 years back, 3.5 years back, that the children in the school should be taught not just Darwin's theory, but should also be taught the creationist theory. They call higher design or intelligent design. God has created this world. As has been mentioned in Bible, this world was paradise 3,000 years before Christ. So there are two different theories. What the Supreme Court of America ruled, you know, teach both the theories to the students in the schools. And let the children decide what is right and what is wrong. Don't impose a particular theory, like Darwin's theory, onto the psyche of children. Why I'm giving an example? Truth is only one. Baba's children are very fortunate. Science or scientists might prove all different aspects of Baba's philosophy, spirituality, sooner or later. It's none of our job, none of the job of Baba to prove himself, to prove what he says. It's the duty of children, the scientists' children, to prove different aspects of Baba's philosophy. So is the case with, one of the scientists whom I happened to meet in California when I was visiting United States 3 years back. And I had an interaction with him. He was at the center, was looking at this picture of three worlds, you know. And he asked the sister as well, you know, in the center, how did you come out with this map of universe, you know, an oval-shaped thing, you know. Because NASA has also found out the map of universe, and it's exactly what Baba says, you know, oval-shaped. It is there on their website. NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, NASA of America, you know, NASA, has done some lot of research on the boundaries of universe. What I mean to say, scientists has the duty to prove or disprove anything. The truth is one. We all know that what Baba says is truth. It will be revealed. It will be glorified one day or the other, sooner or later. If we become faithful intellect, if we take care of our health, we can do more service, we can do more efforts, and that's the reason I'm giving you some tips how to keep oneself healthy. As I was saying just now, see the positivity, specialities, qualities of others, and have a tendency to develop an attitude of forgive and forget within the family, at workplace, and we can be stress-free. Another tip to keep oneself healthy, mentally healthy, is to remain conscious of Baba's different aspects of Jnana. Sometimes we take it for granted, you know, what Baba teaches every day. Or sometimes we take it easy, you know. Oh, it's the Brahmin family. We have become Brahmins and we are doing, you know, efforts. Fortune is inevitable. I mean, you know, we try to talk to ourselves, try to persuade ourselves. Anyway, we are going to have inheritance, right? We are going to be there in the golden age. I mean, that kind of a satisfaction builds in within the psyche over the years, and we take the efforts very easily. We take it very casually. As Baba has warned us many times, you know, anything can happen at any time, suddenly. If you are prepared for the worst, if you yourself at an individual level are prepared for the worst, if you attain that level of consciousness, what Baba expects us to attain, you know, it not only gives the benefit to ourselves, but it also gives Baba, right, to go ahead and open the gate of the land of peace, the home, right? Sometimes we, the human beings, the human intellect, try to think about God, what He is or what He is doing or what not. Barring Baba's children already know what He is doing. The major, the biggest task of transformation. But the Laukik people, those who are not in Jnana sometimes, especially the scientists, who have different theories of, you know, life and universe and things like that, they try to explain you in a different manner, which is not in consistence with truth. And then you can be little in conflicts within and be a little less faithful intellect, and then take your efforts very casually. Maya is very clever, right? Maya is more smart than ourselves. It tries to cheat everyone and cause a lot of conflicts and stress. So, keeping that aspect aside, spiritual aspect of health, if you maintain good, steady and, you know, very stable stage, I'm sure you can face any kind of Maya. And you can face any kind of eventuality. I am tempted to give you some more tips, but keeping time constraint in mind, I would like to have some interaction with you. We can go on until 7:20, 7:15, something like that. So, now I would invite some questions and queries, if you have. One by one, you can raise your hand. Then we can go ahead. If you can speak, if you can ask a question loudly, it can be of benefit to others also. So let us start ball rolling now. Yes. If you want to have the use of a mic, you can. So this brother is very kind enough to give you the mic. Come in front. Identify yourself and ask a question or comment. Yes, please. Right. Okay. Did you get the question? I'll repeat for the benefit of others, you know. The translator hasn't listened to what she has asked. I'll repeat the question. She says, I'm in Gyan for 25 years and I've been having depression for 25 years. I have been having a problem of hypersomnia. You know, somebody who sleeps more than 8 hours or 10 hours a day, or somebody who can fall asleep at any time during day, hypersomnia, increased sleep. Sister, it seems physically, in this birth, your body is little overweight. You are on the side of obesity. If somebody is obese, overweight can also cause more sleep. Now there are different causes of obesity. If you are in touch with your family doctor, it is his duty to diagnose what are the causes of your overweight, obesity. There are so many illnesses which can cause overweight, which can cause obesity. One of the common causes of obesity is, of course, depression. And as you said, you have been suffering from depression. Now, any physical or psychiatric illness, if it is there, if it is diagnosed in time, treated appropriately, with appropriate advice from a specialist doctor, including physician and a psychiatrist, I hope and I think you should remain free from depression. There is a course of medication. You know, there is a course of medication for different illnesses. Say, for example, if you have simple flu, viral fever, one should take tablets for about 5 to 7 days. Somebody who has developed typhoid fever should take the course of tablets for about a month or so. Somebody who develops something called tuberculosis, TB, you know, has to take tablets for 6 to 9 months. Somebody who has diabetes or high blood pressure has to take tablets lifetime, almost lifetime, you know. So, in your case, if it is depression, if it is average course of treatment for depression is around 9 months. But if your depression is very, very long standing, more than 3 years, then the course of the tablets of antidepressants is around 5 years, or until your physician or your psychiatrist advises you. Untreated depression has different complications. If you remain depressed for a long time, obviously you don't enjoy life. You don't have that zeal and enthusiasm in your life. It can affect your performance. It can affect your job. It can affect your relations. And if it's very severe, it can lead you to ideas of hopelessness and things like that, you know. So, you should be in touch with a specialist psychiatrist and your physician and consult both of them in your country. and continue keeping in touch with both of them regularly. Yes, any other question? Yes, please. If you can use the mic, that would be better. That would save my time to translate again. For the sake of... Yeah, please.
Okay, I have a high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
For many years.
Mm-hmm.
Some medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so now I have a retirement, but I would like to heal myself and what could help me. And, but also, high blood pressure runs in my family.
Okay.
On both sides.
Right. Yes. Thank you. The sister asks, she has high blood pressure. She has been taking tablets for high blood pressure for many years. She has had very stressful job. Now she is on the verge of retirement. It runs in the family as well. There are some other family members who are having high blood pressure. How to handle that? You know, the 80% of physical illnesses, 80% of physical illnesses are caused by stress. Right from simple viral fever to high blood pressure to diabetes to cancer are caused by stress, long-standing, enduring stress. If you handle your stress properly, you can prevent some of the illnesses. Even if you have inherited the genes of high blood pressure, say for example in your family, but if you are devoid of stress, you will never ever develop high blood pressure. But if you have inherited the genes of high blood pressure in the family, or if you have inherited the genes of, say, diabetes, you are more likely to develop diabetes or high blood pressure only when you remain under stress for a long time. As you said, now you are on the verge of retirement. So it's a good sign that you are going to be away from your stressful job permanently. So that's a welcome change in your life. That should help you, number one. Number two, if you change your lifestyle a bit, the most stressful job is of a psychiatrist, isn't it? We handle psychotics, neurotics, violent, depressed, anxious, you know, all kinds of patients, day in and day out. And if we can't handle that kind of a stress, you know, we can develop any kind of an illness. Fortunately, you are not a psychiatrist, I guess. And therefore, your job should be less stressful than a job of a psychiatrist. But there are ways and means to make your job less stressful and more pleasurable. I don't know what your job is. Reporter? Media reporter? Electronic media? Print media? Broadcasting. Right. So she is with media, broadcasting media, television, radio, right? Radio, right. It's not that stressful a job. Right? Okay. So, you know, you can't label somebody having an illness of hypertension if your single reading of blood pressure is high. Say for example, if somebody comes and measures my blood pressure right now, if it is high, I cannot be labeled having high blood pressure, illness of hypertension. It should be consistently high for 5 to 7 days every day. Then it is an illness of high blood pressure. It fluctuates. The blood pressure also fluctuates during whole day. In the morning, it's lowest. In the evening, it is the highest. So if you are genuinely labeled having high blood pressure, and if your family members also have high blood pressure, you probably have inherited genes of high blood pressure, you need to be in touch with your physician regularly. Follow his advice, because to change the medication or stop the medication on your own can be very dangerous. Untreated hypertension can cause so many illnesses. So, don't take a chance, don't take a risk to change your medication without the advice of your physician. If need be, if you find that your stress is beyond tolerable limits, you should consult a good psychiatrist in your country, in your city. Okay? Any other question? Yes, sister. Can you use the mic? No. Who will translate? Okay, you are going to translate. Can anybody translate Spanish? Okay. Just wait a minute. Can anybody translate Spanish for her? Oh, until she finds a translator, I have one query here in writing. Do you have any study about the vitamin B12 in the people of India, the vegetarian ones? It's a good question. Is it from a doctor? No. Okay. Yes, I will answer this question afterwards. Please go ahead. Mm-hmm. You can use a mic, Regina. Let her use the mic, yeah.
Usted habló de la depresión y el estrés.
So she would like to speak about depression and stress.
¿Qué pasa con las enfermedades del ánimo?
What happens with the soul?
Yo trabajo como enfermera de niños.
I work as a nurse for children.
Y lo que veo normalmente.
And what happens usually?
Es que los niños tienen mucha tristeza.
And the child needs a lot of attention.
Y que los padres y las madres,
and the father and the mother,
normalmente se ven sobrepasados.
Normally they're not included in the decision making.
Con estos niños.
As far as the child is concerned.
Y los niños no logran adaptarse en ningún momento al mundo en que están viviendo.
And the child is not able to adapt himself to the world in which he is in.
Entonces, este ánimo de los niños
so
y de
the
los
soul
padres,
of the child and the parents,
se ve siempre como mucho pesar y mucha sobrecarga.
There's a lot of heaviness.
Are you in the pediatric ward? Are you in the pediatric ward? Are you working in ICU, intensive care unit?
In
pediatric
ward.
Okay, not in intensive care. Okay.
¿Cómo puede ayudar uno?
How can they be helped?
Yes. Now, she is... You are fortunate in a way that you are not a psychiatrist. You are just a nurse. She is a pediatric nurse. She is looking after the children. She is a nurse looking after the children in the ward, not even in the intensive care. In intensive care, you know, in all ICUs of the world, all intensive care units of the hospitals, there is a very rapid incoming and outgoing, you know, number of souls. There are some who are taking birth and there are some souls who are leaving the bodies, you know. Mostly, they are leaving the bodies and it's very stressful. I know. The intensivist, the physician who is looking after the intensive care has the maximum stress because they encounter death round the clock on a daily basis. You are fortunate in a way that you are not in an intensive care. You are working in a general ward. There are different systems how to adapt to, you know, children and their mother. I don't know, which country are you living in? Spain? Chile. Okay. Many of the developed countries, including Chile, I guess. Chile is a developing country, right? It's a developed country. It's unfortunate. In some of the hospitals of developed countries, they separate the children from the mothers. In many of the psychiatric hospitals of developed countries, I have seen that the psychiatric patients are separated from the guardians, from the caretakers. It is not only stressful to the patient, but it is also stressful for the mother or the guardian, you know. What is happening with my child, obviously. If child is separate from the mother, mother is sitting outside the hospital in the waiting room or in the guest room, and the child is hospitalized in the ward, obviously, there is stress. Some of the systems, I'm sorry to say this, some of the systems in some developed countries are not healthy. And then you are not only answerable to the mother who is sitting outside, who is not witnessing the treatment, what is happening to the child. Doctor is giving treatment to the child. The mother has to be there with her, with the child, all the time. But the mother is waiting outside or staying in a guest room. It causes more stress. And the nurse is answerable to the mother. Rather than the doctor, rather than being a direct witness of what is happening with the child, the nurse is under more stress to convince the mother that the treatment is going in a proper way, you see. So, I know, you are, in a way, less stressed as compared to some other medical professionals. Take it easily. If it is a part and parcel of your job, you have to do a job, isn't it, for your livelihood. You can't leave your job. But yes, you have to find ways and means to convince the mother, to convince the doctor as well, that sometimes the doctor himself needs to talk to the mother directly regarding treatment of the child and things like that. The doctor is the ultimate authority to, is accountable for all treatments, right? Yes, any other question? Yes, sister.
I am translating a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is regarding what you said about 8 hours of sleep and Baba's knowledge, which is, you know, we have to become conqueror of sleep.
Sorry?
So conqueror of sleep.
Right.
So what is your understanding?
I was expecting this question. To be a conqueror of sleep does not mean you don't sleep at all. Okay? Please be clear in your understanding. To be a conqueror of sleep does not mean you don't sleep at all. Or you sleep just 2 hours at night time and you are expected to do a lot of efforts and you are expected to do a lot of service during daytime. No. Please, no. A big no. Mind well. If your job has more physical activity during the daytime, you have to do a lot of physical exertion during daytime, the requirement of your sleep is 1 hour extra than the 8 hours. If you are doing a lot of exercise, a lot of gross service in the center, like cleaning the center, moving around, doing gardening, driving, you know, multitasking, in which there is more physical exertion, your body demands more than 8 hours of sleep. And at the same time, you are expected to be a conqueror of sleep. Mind well, to be conqueror of sleep means whenever you want to sleep, whenever you want to fall asleep, you should be able to fall asleep. Whether in the train or in the flight or in a marketplace or at home or in office. It does not mean that you don't have sleep at all. Whenever you want to sleep, you should be able to fall asleep. And whenever you want to wake up, you should be able to wake up. That's what conqueror of sleep is. Okay? I am reminded of a particular event which happened with Baba. Sakar Baba. Brahma Baba. You know, Brahma Baba was having diabetes. And once upon a time, it so happened that his sugar level rose very significantly. It happened after 2 or 3 days of sleepless nights or very less sleep with Baba. And doctor had to advise him, please sleep extra. Baba did follow to some extent, but then still he was waking up at Amritvela. Mind well, there is a cost of everything. You want to make efforts at the cost of reducing your sleep, it will have a toll on something. You will have to pay toll on your health. Better to go to bed early, have enough sleep and get at Amritvela so that you don't doze off and don't disturb others during Amritvela. But to be a conqueror of sleep does not mean that you don't sleep at all and then you sleep in the class. Okay? Yes, anything else? B12, vitamin B12, yes. Now, there are certain diets which are deficient in vitamins, you know, especially vitamin B12. About 50 years back, there was a misbelief that vegetarian diet has less protein. Similarly, there is a misbelief that vegetarian diet is deficient in vitamin B12. You should be able to know the exact sources of vitamin B12. If you are a vegetarian, what are the good sources of vitamin B12? They are the vegetables, sprouts, milk and milk products. If you take them on regular basis, you know the legumes, the pulses, and if you sprout them, it becomes a rich source of vitamin B12. You have it here in Gyansarva, I guess, right? It's there in the regular menu of Pandav Bhavan, Shantivan Hospital. Milk products, again, are rich source of vitamin B12. So if you have this kind of things in your regular diet, you will never ever be deficient in vitamin B12. Yes, I know. Especially all undeveloped countries and developing countries, including India, where there is starvation. Well, where people are malnourished, where people are not getting enough food. They don't get food at all. And they develop deficiency of all kinds, including vitamin B12. But we the Brahmins are fortunate enough to get good, healthy Brahma Bhojan, right? So, we should not be deficient in vitamin B12. If we have these things included in our menu every day. Yes, any other question? Hopefully the last question. Yes, sister. Then we can have about 20-15 minutes of meditation. Yes? Yes.
Just to following up about the regarding sleep and meditation, my understanding is that there's now some research that meditation produces the same sort of brain waves that perhaps sleep can produce, and I was wondering what are your thoughts on that, and perhaps if it is possible to reduce the number of hours through good meditation. Because, I mean, my current reality is that,
yes,
I don't get 8 hours.
Yeah, this is another aspect of is the sleep management, you know. There are different kinds of management these days, you know, sleep management and money management and time management. And there are some people who teach sleep management. They say if you increase the duration of meditation, you know, you can reduce the number of sleep hours. What happens? Meditation produces good waves in the brain. Alpha and delta and theta, you know. They are the original waves of a soul, you know. And if you can attain and maintain a good meditative stage round the clock on daily basis for a long time, eventually the quality of your sleep improves. The depth, the soundness of your sleep increases. And in turn, as a result, your requirement of sleep might reduce by an hour or two. But it does not mean that you don't sleep at all. As I said earlier, to be a conqueror of sleep does not mean that you don't sleep at all. You have to have sleep which is according to the requirement of your work, according to requirement of your body, looking at your physical and mental health, looking at your activity level. Weather also is one of the reasons, you know. In summers, one requires less sleep. In winter, you require more sleep. In most of the developed countries, you have air conditioning everywhere, right? And you maintain the same temperature. But while you are in Madhuban, this winter, where the minimum temperature is around 8, 7 in the morning, or at times 2, 3, during that particular time, your body demands more rest. And it's the Amrit Vela time when the temperature of a day is minimum. And it's the time you try to awake. Because you have to wake up for Amrit Vela meditation. What I'm trying to say, yes, if you have good stage of meditation for a long time, for many days, the quality of sleep improves, and that's how the number of hours of your sleep might be reduced, and you can afford to have 1 or 2 hours of less sleep, but not at the cost of raising your blood pressure or raising your blood sugar. Mind well, okay? Yes, that's it. Any other last question? Then we can have meditation for 10 to 15 minutes. Yes, sister. Sorry? She is asking a question, what are the reasons of losing vitamin B12 in the body? Mind well. The vitamins are of two types. One category of vitamins is called fat-soluble vitamins. And they are vitamin A, D, E, and K. They are fat-soluble vitamins. They are dissolved in fat and absorbed in the intestine and reaches liver via blood and stored in the liver. There are other kinds of vitamins which are known as water-soluble vitamins. They are vitamin B12, vitamin C. Vitamin B12 and vitamin C are not stored in the body. They have to be taken on a daily basis. And if you don't take it daily, you can develop deficiency. You don't lose vitamin B12 by any means. But if you don't take it regularly, then you are deficient in vitamin B12. It is not stored in the body. Okay. Vitamin B12, vitamin B1, B2, B6, all vitamin B complex, vitamin C, they have to be taken on a daily basis. The average requirement of vitamin B12 and vitamin C has to be met with every day by taking a lot of vegetables and fruits and sprouts and milk products, something like that. Okay? Right. So, I guess and I wish and hope that you will remain healthy all the time, completely healthy. Yes, brother wants to ask a question. Yes, brother. Yes, yes. Very last, okay? Yes. Yes, go ahead. Last question from the youngest. You need translator, right? Yes.
Anh cho em hỏi là tình trạng tôi là một người ngủ rất là ngon.
I sleep very well.
12.
Very well.
12 hours. 12 hours?
No, I sleep very well.
Very well, okay. Yeah, please go ahead, yeah.
Và có cái hiện tượng là giữa cái thức và ngủ thì thì luôn luôn là cười.
And when I sleep, I always like smile when sleep when mm-hmm. sleeping.
Mm-hmm. You also talk while sleeping? Ask him. So ask him.
Anh còn nói chứ ngủ. No.
Luôn luôn mình thấy những cái chuyện rất là khôi hài và làm cho mình cười trong trong lúc giữa thức và ngủ.
I have feeling funny when sleeping.
Feeling hungry.
Funny.
Funny.
Yeah.
So you're smiling and it's observed by others, other relatives, right? It's seen by other relatives. You don't feel it, right? It's only when you wake up in the morning, the other relatives tell you that you were smiling, you were funny during sleep, right? Ask him.
Can you repeat?
When he wakes up in the morning, the relatives tell him that you were smiling during sleep, right? He is not awake at that time while he's smiling during sleep, right?
Before sleeping and trước và sau.
Trước và trong.
Before sleeping and while sleeping.
Okay. Right.
Em hỏi giùm anh là như vậy là hiện tượng tốt hay là có điều gì bất thường?
He asked is good or unusual?
Okay. It's a good question. There are about 50 to 60. Now you can translate for him. Sit together and translate for him. There are about 50 to 60 different illnesses related to sleep. There are some people, I'm giving you an example, you know. There are some people who fall asleep late. There are some people who fall asleep in time but wake up in between. There are some people who wake up very early and then they are unable to sleep again, fall asleep again. There are some people, these are different kinds of illnesses. There are some people who sleep the whole night, but then they have dreams, regular dreams and thoughts. And when they wake up in the morning, they feel as if they haven't slept. This is another kind of illness. There are some people who have frightening dreams almost every day or many a days in a month. It's a different illness. There are some people who talk during sleep. That's an illness. It's known as sleep talking disorder, you know, somnolency. There are some people who walk during sleep. They get up, move around, go out, and go back to the bed. In the morning, the relatives tell that you woke up at night time and went around, walked around, and then went to sleep again. So, there are different kinds of sleep-related illnesses. There are some people who have snoring at night time. You know? They are sleeping very well, but it causes insomnia for the others, you know. Sleep apnea disorder. It's known as sleep apnea disorder. There is a kind of a, you know, in the nose we have a partition here. And this partition, it's a kind of a curtain in the nose. And when there is very heavy air entry coming in and going out, you know, while breathing, our right lung is bigger than the left one. And if you are tired, very much tired, or if your curtain, this septum in the nose is little deviated, little, you know, curved one, then there is an uneven entry of air within the nose and it beats like a drum, you know. And it makes sound, snoring. So, these are different kinds of illnesses. There are some people who have kind of micturition during sleep, especially children. In your case, as you said, you are smiling and it's being observed by the relatives, right? This can be an underlying neurological problem. Please go to your physician, get your EEG done of your brain, get the scanning of your brain done. Okay? Tell him to consult his physician in the city. Better to consult a neurologist or a neuropsychiatrist, get the EEG done. There are some minor epilepsies which can also cause this kind of things, you know. There are some people who are smiling or talking during sleep. And then there can be some damage in the brain during childhood, during birth, etc., etc. And it can cause these kind of illnesses. So, you need to consult your local family doctor, physician. Get your EEG scanning done. And be in touch with a specialist doctor. Okay, so we have enough health consciousness today, right? Apart from being soul conscious. So now it's time to wind up. Thank you. See you sometime again. Om Shanti. Can we have meditation for 10-15 minutes now? Yeah.